From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We're going to go right to the callers. First up today, Jerry, listening in Wichita, Kansas. Hi, Jerry.
Well, how are you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well. Good talking to you.
Thank you. You just amaze me with your knowledge. I don't know how you could find hours enough to learn all that you know. I think a lot of it must have been revealed to you.
Well, you know, I work at it just like everybody else, which is to say that you want to progressively learn. I remember starting out in ministry, being called to the ministry, and the very first thing I did was going to nursing homes. Uh-huh. And I would on Sunday wheel the patients together in the middle of a little meeting place, and I would preach the gospel to them because no one else cared about them and they were by themselves. And I was starting to exercise my gifts and learning how to answer questions. And so often I was asked questions, even in those early years, I just didn't know the answer to. And so I said, well, that's a good question. I really don't know how to answer it. I'd find the answer. And, you know, it's kind of like you develop hooks in your mind and you hang information on those hooks. And the more hooks you have, the more information you can hang, and it becomes synergistic. So I think everyone can do what I can do, and a lot of people can do it better. It's a matter of practicing, being disciplined, and dedicating yourself to learning, studying to show yourself approved, a workman who need not blush with embarrassment, rightly dividing the word of truth. But I really do appreciate your remarks. They're encouraging to me.
Well, thank you. But my main concern right now is Islam. Boy, that scares me because I don't know if it's a religion or a cult.
Well, it's a religion, but the religion does not correspond to truth. They, for example, in their religion, do not believe that Jesus Christ was crucified. Rather, they say that God made someone look like Jesus, and the look-alike was crucified in place of Jesus. Now, that does not correspond to reality, and therefore it's not truth. They also believe that the unforgivable sin, the sin that they call the sin of shirk, S-H-I-R-K, is assigning partners to God, which is precisely what they think Christianity does in proclaiming that Jesus is the only begotten of the Father. Now, of course, Christians don't believe begotten is a phrase that communicates sexual reproduction, but it's a way of saying that Jesus is the unique, the only Son of God, because ontologically, by nature or essence, he is very God revealed in flesh. So God, in a Christian perspective, is not merely transcendent. He is knowable. He has come and revealed himself in the flesh in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Islam has a transcendent God, but never a knowable God. And therefore, if you're a Muslim, you're always left in a quandary or a dilemma. Am I good enough? I don't know, because God has not made himself knowable. In Christianity, these things are written that you may know you have everlasting life.
Let's see, what was that? 1 John 5:13?
Yes. And
I have written this to you who believe in the Son of God that ye may know, and that's today, you may know that if you have salvation or not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, that's tremendous. But the thing that confused me both about them is they believe in God just like I do, but they don't believe in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and that's a great point to make. The word Allah can be used in a Christian sense. It can also be used in a non-Christian sense. Allah is a word in Arabic that means God.
Uh-huh.
So there are Arabic Christians that would refer to God as Allah. The word is never the issue. The meaning poured into the word is always the issue. So the question always has to be, what do you mean when you say God? The same thing has to be said with Jesus Christ. The fact that you say, I love Jesus Christ, I worship Jesus Christ, does not mean that you are saved, because the question has to be asked, who is this Jesus Christ? That's, in fact, the mother of all questions, the very question that Jesus Christ himself asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? Now, a New Thought metaphysical practitioner will say, you are an avatar. You are a messenger. A Muslim would say, you are a good teacher. A Hindu would have another answer. A Mormon, yet another answer. A Jehovah's Witness would have yet another answer. So the issue is not the word you use, but the meaning that you pour into the word.
Uh-huh. You did a good job. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Appreciate your encouragement.
I based all of mine on Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen. And thank you so much for quoting the scripture. It's always music to my ear.
Well, I appreciate your knowledge, and I'll keep listening.
Thank you, Jerry. Back to the phone lines. Katrina next, Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, Katrina.
Hi. Here's my question. Conception. Where in the Bible, where in the Word of God, is it said that we cannot have sex before marriage and conceive either prior to marriage?
Well, the Bible repeatedly in the Old and New Testament commands God's people to restrict sexual expression to marriage. So sexual expression is one of the greatest gifts that God has given to us, but it is a gift that is supposed to be used within parameters or within boundaries, and those boundaries are set as marriage. Ephesians 5 verse 3, Colossians 3 verse 5, easy to remember, just invert the numbers, 1 Thessalonians 4, 3, Hebrews 13, 4, all very explicitly commanding people to restrict sexual expression to marriage. So the Apostle Paul, in fact, includes fornicators along with the practitioners of idolatry, adultery, homosexuality, thievery, covetousness, drunkenness, and the like, as among those who will not inherit the kingdom of God. Which is to say, as believers, we say we want to do it your way. Why? Because we know that you know what's best for us, and therefore we're not going to impose our will on you. Rather, we're going to recognize you as the divine lawgiver, and we know that if we violate your principles and parameters, it causes chaos in society.
Okay. And so that automatically weeds out intentional conception outside of marriage.
Yeah, it certainly does. Now, you can be forgiven. David had a sexual relationship with Bathsheba in the Bible, and as a result, he had a child. But now, what happens is that that child could grow up to be a wonderful believer in Yahweh, the God of Israel, revealed in Jesus Christ. But the act is still sinful. In fact, David recognized not only the sin, but the consequence of sin. God can forgive us for sin, but the consequences follow inexorably like night follows day.
Okay. Thank you very much. You've answered my question.
Okay. Well, my pleasure. And, you know, one of the things that happened as a result of embracing philosophical naturalism was the sexual revolution. Humanity's newfound autonomy sacrificed truth on the altar of subjectivism. So ethics and morals were no longer determined on the basis of objective standards, but rather by the size and strength of the latest lobby group. And with no enduring reference point, societal norms were quickly reduced to mere matters of preference. Put another way, we got rid of God and said hello to gonorrhea. God is not a cosmic killjoy. He puts boundaries around our lives so that our joy might indeed be fulfilled. Back to our phone callers. Next up is Nathan, listening in California. Hi, Nathan.
Hi, Hank. I had a question about an answer you gave somebody a while back.
Yeah.
she said that her Mormon friend explained that they believed in Joseph's first vision.
Yeah.
And you explained that that couldn't be the case because ever since Christ ascended from the Mount of Olives, he hasn't been back and won't come back till the second coming. But I was wondering about Paul on the road to Damascus and John on the island of Patmos.
Yeah. Well, on the road to Damascus, Jesus Christ did appear to the Apostle Paul, and certainly the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. This is far different than what you find in the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon allegedly is the product of golden plates which contain the fullness of the everlasting gospel. The problem with the Book of Mormon is that it does not correspond to reality. It was called the most correct of any book on earth, the keystone to the Mormon religion, and yet it does not correspond to reality, which is amply demonstrated by both anthropology and archaeology. We'll be right back with more of your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
To find out more about the materials mentioned on the show, call a CRI resource consultant toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Our website is also an excellent reference destination to help you. Just go to equip.org and find articles by Hank, books, CDs, and DVDs. Again, that's equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment. Of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And right back to our callers. Next up is Jeff, listening in Kansas City, Kansas. Hi, Jeff.
Hello. How you doing, sir?
Well, thank you. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Hey, I have a friend who attends and, I guess, participates in deliverance meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of tells me some of the things that go on there. And I just wondered what your thoughts were on those.
Well, I think it's a classic example of pop culture beckoning and postmodern Christians taking the bait. The fascination with demons in the culture, unfortunately, has led to a robust deliverance or exorcism movement within evangelicalism. And you'd be hard-pressed to come up with a better scheme, because whatever the problem, whether you get depression or substance addiction or a runaway sexual appetite, the ministers are saying that the problem is not really you, it's a demon. So there's a big bonus that they're giving you. For the most part, you're not morally held responsible for the problem. Indwelling demons are mainly to blame, and getting rid of them is the key to moral and psychological redemption. So unfortunately, we've taken our cue from the culture rather than redeeming the culture by way of a Christian worldview.
Okay. Yeah, and he also talks about you know, people being healed of arthritis and shoulder problems, and basically you name it, and they can, it's all demonic.
Yeah, and again, that is simply untrue, and it's unfortunate. And healing is conspicuous by its absence in these meetings. And I'll tell you how you can know that. They can talk about arthritis, and they can talk about a back problem being healed, but do you ever see someone who doesn't have hair and suddenly has a full head of hair? Do you ever see someone who has an amputated leg, maybe came back from the war, suddenly grows a new leg? Do you ever see someone resurrected from the dead? The answer is no, because I have checked this out for myself. In fact, I took one of the most prominent healing evangelists, Benny Hinn, and asked him specifically. I had dinner with him one night, and I said, Benny, you're claiming all of these thousands upon thousands of healings. I can't deal with thousands, but send me your three best. I want to check them out. He eventually did. I checked all three of them out, and none of them checked out. They were all bogus. So here you have a healing evangelist sending me his best three, and none of them check out. Now, do I believe God can heal? Absolutely. But healing is conspicuous by its absence in these groups.
Yeah, and I believe he says that it's a continuation of the gift of healing that the apostles were given, like Peter and John.
Well, and I don't think we want to try to correlate what we do with what the apostles did. The Bible was written and built on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles. In fact, their works validated who they were. But that foundation is not laid and relaid over and over again through the centuries. No, we look back at the Bible as the infallible repository for redemptive revelation. And therefore, I would not in any way have the temerity to suggest that we are an equal par and can do what they did.
Right. Yeah, and he kind of also talks about a new group of prophets or a new era of prophets and that kind of thing. But
we've written about that in several different forums. One, in an article in the Christian Research Journal, and two, in my book, Counterfeit Revival. But yeah, I mean, that's the claim, that there are new super apostles and prophets among us today, and they're going to do things that the biblical prophets never even dreamt of doing. But I would alert everybody to the words of Jeremiah. Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord says, you will have peace. You know, they are telling people what they want to hear, not what they need to hear, because Jeremiah goes on to say, but which of them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see or to hear his word? Who has listened and heard his word? The problem is we no longer know the word, and therefore we're swept about by winds and waves of doctrine as opposed to the truth that is inscripturated in sacred scripture.
Okay, well, that really helps you kind of my thoughts on it, and I was also going to get your book, The Counterfeit
Revival. Yeah, just hang on. We can get it out to you.
Okay, sir. Well, thank you. You have a great day.
You too, Jeff. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jim in Los Angeles, California. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I just have a question. Well, actually, I have two quick questions. One, I'm really struggling to find what God's will is for my life. I'm a truck driver, and I don't get to go to church like I want to because I'm always on the road. I feel like I'm left out, and I'm not providing anything for the kingdom. Like, I feel a hunger to do it, but I'm just stuck in this truck, so I just feel like I'm lost.
Well, Jim, you know, there are a couple of things that you can do in that truck. One is you can study to show yourself approved workmen who need not blush with embarrassment, rightly dividing the word of truth. Your cab can become your cathedral. You can, through the wonderful majesty of technology today, get an education in that cab as you drive around the country. You can listen to CDs. You can listen to the Bible. We have a great word of promise that we endorse here at the Christian Research Institute, where you can listen to the Bible in audio theater, where you hear the jail doors open and closing. You hear the majesty of God's creation. It's absolutely stunning. And so you can use your cab in a wonderful way to edify and feed yourself. And you can continue. If God's calling you to something else, keep praying. Seek the wisdom of godly counselors. Look at the Word of God. And God is going to lead you through people and circumstances to whatever it is that he wants you to do. But I'll tell you what, you have a mission field where you are, and you know that. You've got people that need you as a believer to minister to them. So you
I do pass out tracts, and I preach to the gospel to drivers at truck stops, but there's just so much more I feel like I need to be doing.
Well, Jim, what you need to do is be faithful where God has planted you. And then continue to study to show yourself approved, and God will open doors. He'll continuously open doors because, look, the one thing God is looking for is equip believers. Once you equip yourself, he's going to give you all kinds of opportunities. But the first thing is the first thing, and that is equipping, preparing yourself, making yourself a useful tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, thank you.
You got it. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Keith, Wichita, Kansas. Hi, Keith.
Hello.
Hi.
I had a question, kind of two questions sort of in one, dealing with drunkenness.
Yeah.
And considering chapter 5, verse 16 of Galatians and 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9.
Yeah.
I have a friend who is a homeless man who's right now he's sort of bound by this alcohol, and I'm trying to remember there's another scripture where it talks about if anyone is, I think it mentions homosexuality, and it mentions drunkenness, and it mentions something else, and it says, do not fellowship with them. And I'm wondering how to reconcile, because this guy, he's homeless, he needs help, but at the same time, he's still not repenting of this, and I just worry about him, and I don't know if I should be helping him or...
No, of course you should be helping him. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did. He was a friend to prostitutes and sinners. He was a friend to the downtrodden, to the people who were violating the principles of the kingdom because he wanted to reach them for the kingdom. This is not in any way to suggest that you should acquiesce to a bad lifestyle of debauchery and drunkenness and all the things that the Bible says are not part of the kingdom of God. But yes, you should reach out to him. Yes, he's your friend. And yes, you have an opportunity to be a witness, but you can't enable or facilitate his lifestyle. Rather, you're correct in saying he needs to repent of what he's doing. Now, repentance does not mean suddenly it's gone. If you're an alcoholic, those are cords that bind. They're hard to break. And so you have to have mercy and pity on someone that's entrapped in those bonds, in that horrible lifestyle, very hard to break. And you need to help him find help for the addiction that he has. But he can truly be sorry for it and be saved, but he still needs help. And so as a friend, you need to help him find that help.
Okay. Thank you, Hank, for your word, and I appreciate it.
Bless you, my friend. Appreciate what you're doing with your friend. And we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Resource consultant standing by, 888-7000-CRI. And again, the website, equip.org. The address, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. See you next time with more.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.